Welcome to Central City Underground, episode 126. This is your host, Story's Voice, and I'm here with the professor.
Hello, Story's Voice.
Hi,
yes, well, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, you know what they say. Failure is an orphan.
Failure. Oh, failure.
Yeah, well, speaking of such things, today we're going to be talking about Season 5, Episode 16, yes, titled Failure is an Orphan, of the CW's The Flash. Well, I'm not sure what to say about this. I am of mixed feelings. How about you?
I'm ready. Get everybody, here you go. Listen to the emotions on my sleeve. I did not like this episode. I did not like it. But seven bits.
But seven.
If I say I didn't like it one bit, that means I rated it like a zero. But I did give this episode a 7 out of 10 cicadas that didn't fall far from the tree.
Yes. That was predicted, I believe, by several people, maybe in the Facebook group, and I understand that you didn't like it that much, and you gave it 7, but I don't know, I had to give it 6.5.
You didn't like it worse than I did,
right? Yeah, I liked it a little bit less. Yeah, 6.5 flashbolt deflections, because for me, that was probably the highlight of the episode. I really enjoyed that. The flashbolt. We tossed it. And Cicada was like, no. We're done with the old tricks. But I wish the rest of the episode.
I mean, you get into the science part of that, which, again, it's a superhero program. How fast is she moving to deflect lightning?
You know, we're not going to get into the science of that. We're going to get into the superhero part of that. Yeah, she was
explain
awesome.
Nothing.
Explain nothing.
Yes. Nothing. We'll probably end up being explained.
Yeah. I will share the synopsis for this episode. Again, episode 16 here in season 5. So on paper, this episode, I think, sounded good. And here's what they said. With the metahuman cure ready to use, Barry and the team must figure out a way to subdue Cicada long enough to take it. Killer Frost steps in to help with the plan. Joe eases back into work. And Nora isn't happy about her dad's plans to stop Cicada.
Now, you know, given that synopsis, I think you would expect a little more to happen than what did happen.
It was a lot of nothing. Now, let me real quick shout out one aspect of the episode that did make me go, ooh, and it had really nothing to do with the plot. But it's also not the first time we've talked about costuming on this show. Now, here we go. There was a costume I liked because whatever that D or F list villain was, Acid Master.
Yes.
He was repping the underground in his CCU sweatshirt.
Yes. That was great. I saw that, and I'm sure I pray that's some kind of marketing ploy by them, because I'm getting one of those for Christmas, I'm sure.
Hey, if they named the coin after Todd Helbing, then we can go out and promote that. Acid Master was promoting the podcast for us on the TV show.
Yes.
So thank you, Flash Writers, for listening. We appreciate you checking out the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be great. I hope we really got to get people out there to look up CCU and see what they find. And it was great. Killer Frost was in it as well. She looked great at it.
Oh, she made it look good.
Yeah. That's great.
I don't know. Killer Frost kind of makes me feel, I don't know, warm inside.
Well, that was unexpected. Much like the plot that we got. Oh, wait. Yeah, no, there was a plot. Wasn't there?
I can't remember. I just want to make sure we're going to kick this episode while it's down, right?
Oh, yeah, I thought that was the plan.
Okay, just
no, not to be a total jerk about it or anything, but the I felt good giving it a 6.5 because I mean, 5 is halfway mediocre, right?
And yeah, this was a step above. Like I said before, we hit record, I watched the episode once. I wasn't able to get a second or third viewing in as I normally do. And when the episode was done the first time, I felt good about it. I got Reverse Flash stuff. You know, we got some resolution, sort of, kind of, to the Chris Klein Cicada. I thought it was a nice twist of what we know, I think, as the audience, is who this new version of Cicada is as we get into this. But then, you know, just the more I thought about it, it was like filler, but it did move a lot of plot points forward. But I just became down on it as, you know, I got further away from having seen it. So
I feel you. It feels almost as if they had significant plot points that needed to be addressed, but the connective tissue was just too weak. There was nothing there that really held it together. You know, like going through the synopsis. Okay, the metahuman cure is ready to use. Baron team must figure out a way to seduce Cicada long enough to take it. See, that's very misleading.
They don't subdue him.
We learned last episode that they weren't going to subdue him. They were going to ask him, you know? Yeah.
Which we joked about last week. Like, yeah, that's going to work.
Right. And, oh God, I guess we'll get to that. Jeez.
No, I'm going to sort of go there now.
Let's do it.
Maybe this is where we're going. You know, I think they wasted too much time. And this is really the first time where all season I found Nora to be annoying. And it all stemmed from trying to figure out the perfect thing for Barry to say. And I think she put too much energy into it. Now, could some of that stem from what she's dealing with? And again, there's still a lot we don't know about what's going on with the Reverse Flash and that relationship, how it came to be. So I'm hoping here, after 16 episodes, we've got 7 left, right? 23 episodes?
I believe so.
That by kind of, again, this whole Cicada thing, the way, if this is how they were going to wrap it up, they should have done this at the midseason finale and then given us more Fawn and this future Cicada here in the whole back half of the season. But here we are.
I kind of understand what you're saying. In order for the future Cicada and Fawn storylines to be well fleshed out and believably so, it would require all 7 of those episodes. We'd have to see all 7 of those episodes with heavy plot movement. And that, well, we know that's not going to happen.
Almost like a 7 episode season in and of itself.
Right. And that's too much for a lot of the casual viewers, you know, people who aren't so invested. They just want to see, you know, the Flash on Tuesdays. Because they keep that in mind. I think they keep that heavily in mind, that too thick or too heavy of a plot might scare off some of their viewers. I believe that's what they think. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yes, but they shouldn't aggravate the people that talk about it.
Dedicated, loving fans. Yeah, we should. Yeah, we should be catered to. No.
Although, I mean, one thing that I have held on to since watching it was, again, from the opening scene where we're back in 2049, the Reverse Flash clock outside his cell. This is the second time we're now seeing it. And it had about, I think, 18 and change hours on it. Or was that, maybe it's minutes? It was 18, so it was less than the 50-something we saw. So time has passed for him.
Right.
And that means, hopefully, if we're going to get that fast-moving plot, now's the time.
I see what you did there.
That wasn't even on purpose.
You just get it. Yeah. Time will tell.
Time will tell. All right. It looks like Story's voice has a piping hot excess, bro.
Yes, it's quite good. It's quite good. It's the latest creation of Jitters.
Which, that was also kind of meh. That they made a big deal out of bringing her there to show her the drink. I mean, has she really warranted getting a drink if we really break it down? How many times she's done things publicly?
Well, you know, I like to think that she does things all the time when we're not viewing. And, you know, she made a name of herself in the beginning of the season. I remember with, I can't remember the name of the episode, but it was the one with the blogger and the
Men. Okay. Right. Yeah.
So she's kind of like a city. The city knows she's a speedster at least. So I guess she could get her own coffee. I don't know if it warranted that level of enthusiasm over getting her to jitters, but she at least gets a coffee named after her.
And actually, leading up to that, I thought it was, I don't do a lot of laughing out loud at this show because it's not a comedy, but I did laugh out loud when Sisko and Sherlock were like, "You two, you made this. Your fault."
Yes.
As she was, you know, directing traffic in the cortex. I thought that made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, that was great. I enjoyed that. Someone, I think, in the Facebook group as we were watching this, commented on the fact that the outfit that she was wearing, the colors were far more reverse flash than flash.
I did pick up on that, too, and that made me go, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, it's nothing more than a nod, but not acknowledged.
Although, I mean, on the other side, if we look back at her wardrobe throughout the season, it's not like she's been wearing a lot of red. She's typically in blacks and grays and purple, so.
True. We know who she's dealing with.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to find out more next week, but let's continue to commiserate about this particular episode.
If we must. Okay.
and again, for you who's listening, if we sound a little down, if you like something about this episode, and we've got some feedback that we're going to get to towards the end of this particular episode, please, if you thought highly of this episode, let us know. Don't let us bring you down. If you enjoyed this and you want to bring some happiness about this episode, send us some feedback, post it in the Facebook group, and we'll be happy to entertain your thoughts about why this was a good episode. Now, there, like in every episode, there are things that make me go, ooh. Obviously, the episode starts off strong for me because we're in 2049, and I thought we were getting a teaser for, and I think it's pretty wide known at this point, that Godspeed is coming, the current very popular villain from the new run of The Flash in present day. And I thought that somehow we're laying seeds for that at this point in the episode. But then I think really it was what winds up being future Cicada, which again, we all believe to be future Grace, as we find out at the episode at the end there. So that immediately made me go, ooh, because I love me some reverse Flash, kind of like Nora does, I guess. So again, not an Easter egg or anything, but I just like scenes that he's in because I'm just waiting for the payoff and I know it's coming, and then they're going to do something. There's going to be a twist and it'll be after the last episode. And then I've got to wait till the fall. So I know it's coming. This episode just didn't get me there. But in terms of little eggs or something I found interesting, I immediately, you know, that list that Iris came up with of things they want to do with Nora before she, and what they believe to be inevitably returning back to the future, her time. I freeze framed the list and I have it here in our notes. So here is what was on the list. If you who's listening was not able to go back and pause and check out what they want to do with Nora before she goes back to the future, they want to do some cooking with Grandma Esther, or use Grandma Esther's recipes. They want to go skiing with Nora. They want to sneak onto the Jitter's roof. And not only was that on the list on her phone, but like, they really want to do that. Like, yeah, go onto the roof at Jitter's. I don't understand. They want to go zip lining. I mean, if I'm the daughter of the fastest man alive, what's a zip line going to do for me? eating at a restaurant called Sebastiano's, which I wasn't able to verify, but I think is an Easter egg to someplace that Barry and Iris went on one of their first dates
okay.
in a previous season. Can't confirm. If you can confirm that, let us know. They want to watch Star Wars, all of them. Now, I don't know if that's 4, 5, 6, everything that exists, but we know that Star Wars exists in this universe and they want to watch it. They want to play laser tag. That sounds like fun. Although, wouldn't they all be able to outrun the lasers? They want to go camping. I really don't. I mean, looking at this list, did they expect to go camping in a zipline park overnight before she ran back to the future? So there you go. They want to go karaokeing, which is a nice callback to Barry and Caitlin doing karaoke in season one. Lots of fun. And a midnight screening of Rocky.
Okay. I like how mundane all of this is. And I'm that's the point, of course. So much superheroing, you miss out. I mean, even a superhero's family is going to miss out on all the mundane, normal, average things to do. And I don't know. I think I'm okay with Iris's list because it's also a list she probably just slapped together knowing that her daughter was going to be leaving and that by the time she saw her daughter again like that, she would be a totally different person herself. And it's a singular opportunity to enjoy each other's presence. It's cute. It tugged at the heartstrings.
Definitely agree about it tugging at the heartstrings. The other thing that I took from the list was it's not just stuff that like she wants to do with Nora. It's stuff that they want to all do as a family, because in theory, they don't know if what they do now will prevent Barry from disappearing in the future through the crisis in the Red Skies. You know, Nora wouldn't know that until she returns to see if Barry's still there, to see if it all works out. So obviously that's her plan. That's what she's going for. But obviously Iris is coming at it from a perspective of you're this age. And they kind of acknowledge this, that, you know, and she's basically outright says it. Yeah. For you, it's going to be instant. You go back to your time and you're there. Me here right now, I've got to wait a few decades to see you like this again. And you know, I've got this, all this time ahead of me. And, you know, maybe internally your father might not even be there. So these are things we could do to enjoy you now at this age and do things with your father and all of us as a family.
Yeah, it's a really singular opportunity to be that family unit. And even in the future, if Barry were to come back and they'd all be there, it would still be very, very different because, again, that's a lifetime away for both Barry and Iris. They will be very different people. And I think they played that scene well. I really love the way that Nora plays all of her emotional scenes. She gets me. I don't know. She gets me a little more than Iris. And I'm not an Iris hater or anything. I enjoy Iris. I like Iris. And I like the way she acts. I think her acting's great. Something about the way Nora teases the emotions. I just enjoy it. And those scenes were good.
It's because she comes off as cute as a button.
And we all know that cute is a lie. No, I'm kidding. But she does have some dark secrets.
Yeah. And again, the future is coming.
Yeah,
Speaking of the future. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was going to say Godspeed is coming, supposedly. Now, is that official?
Yeah, that's official.
I'm not going to lie. I live under a rock. I didn't know that. And that's kind of cool. So is that, so that must be.
He'll be here in like 2 weeks.
So it'll be before the end of the season, or is it teased for next season.
Oh, no, he'll be here in 2 weeks. As we record this, well, we have great. Next week's episode. Next week is episode 17. No, I think it's three. I think it's episode 19.
Godspeed, episode 19. Well, that's kind of cool.
And the title of the episode is Godspeed.
Oh, well, then I guess Godspeed, Godspeed. Because
well, I said that last week. Well, I said that last week.
The Rock? Really? I really live under it. No, I haven't. This season, I just haven't perused a whole bunch of social media. I haven't been just inundated with social media and all the theories and the what-ifs and the official announcements and whatnot.
I like the theories. I don't care about spoilers. I'm still going to watch it because then I get to see it and I'm like, okay, cool. So, I mean, I don't spoil things like the finale or big stuff, but right. I know the upcoming episode titles. I watch a number of things. So I like to keep my ear to the Flash rail.
You know, no, normally I do too, but this season I really wasn't able to. I think I preferred knowing a little.
But speaking of knowing a little and time moving forward, another thing that made me go, ooh, I don't know about you, was the time journal, Nora's little notebook, is almost decoded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, and I think we're going to get the rest of that next week.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Next week looks crazy. And I'm really hoping we do get the rest of that. But I was wondering if that's what Sherlock was talking about, unfinished business.
Oh, absolutely. When absolutely. In right. talking to her, that yeah, they're like, you might be going away, but to me, it sounded like he was hinting at, yeah, I might not be so quick to be leaving right away because I'm working on this other thing that, again, nobody knows about. You know, we're 16 episodes in and nobody knows he's decoding the entire notebook.
Right. That's
the closest we came was Iris yelling at him for interrogating her when she was laid up in, after being injured.
Right.
That's
right.
The closest we came to somebody being aware of him poking around.
Wow. I wonder how much he has decoded or like, see, he's made some very,
if I recall, I think it was like 71-73% decoded.
Oh, wow.
And then Cisco and Caitlin came in. Yeah. They've been showing a progress bar on his, on the monitor. And then Cisco and Caitlin came in and he like turned it off.
I didn't see that. Yes, that's a significant amount. And before he was, well, not before, but Sherlock makes very great leaps of intuitiveness, I guess. He just thinks about something and has the answer. And I'm not sure how to feel about that, to trust that, or he's so shady. But he does come up with great answers, logical answers, and I just don't know. He's got me perplexed at this point.
I think there's some twists coming. I don't know specifically what they are, but I think we're going to have a lot of, ooh, my goodness, coming up in the remaining episodes this season. And I think Reverse Flash is involved. I think Sherlock is involved. I think Nora's involved. Godspeed is certainly going to be fun, but we got a few more things coming to us.
Mm-hmm. Sherlock could be and very.
They gave us this episode.
Yeah. You know, but maybe it's a good sign. You know, sometimes they're like, okay, we can't take the time to move these plot pieces into place. So if we just give it all to them now, then we can just go forward without having to worry about, you know, whether or not it makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's like I had seen an article this week that made reference to what happened to that baby.
What baby?
I mean, this was the first episode in a long time that they referenced Auntie Jenna by name.
And it took me a second to remember who she was. I was like, what Auntie Jen? Oh, that's right.
It was like if we don't hear too much more about that baby, consider that baby no longer really existing other than at one time it did. Who knows? Right. Maybe the timeline will change again.
Yeah, they flashpointed it away again. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But one thing that I enjoyed greatly was the Joe and Barry pep talk.
Yeah, that was really, it was really nice.
That was. And I didn't really see it coming at first until Joe walked away. And just the way he did it was like, wait a minute. I realized that that was a time for like some Joe wisdom and he just wasn't going to give it. And then it goes into the scene and everything. But what that great scene really showed to me was that a lot of the qualities that Nora spoke about in The Flash, always being able to help people, save people, do the right thing, so on and so forth, are just qualities he learned from Joe. So half of The Flash's greatness is just the fact that he learned his life lessons being Joe's son. At least that's what I choose to believe.
it does make sense. You know, Joe was a prominent figure in his life growing up. And I mean, even right there in that moment, Joe acknowledges, you know, Barry, you're getting good at these pep talks. I also think that's a little bit of the show poking fun at itself.
That 100%.
Joe is good for pep talks.
Yeah.
So, again, Barry speaking from the heart, doing what he does. And it was also nice to have Joe back and kind of be doing his thing too.
Yeah, yeah. Every time I see Joe now, it's like, oh yeah, Joe's back. I guess after all, you only come back once. He's been back. It's just so good to have him there.
Actually, the other thing that I liked about that scene was that it was shot and almost had a season 1 feel to it.
Yeah, they were back in the...
Barry leaned heavily on Joe for advice and a number of topics, and this just seemed like a very nice callback to season 1 type interaction with the two of them.
Oh, absolutely, because they were in Barry's office, so I mean, he's got to use it for something, so why not brooding?
Yeah, don't use your office during the day for your day job. Let's just go hang out there at night.
Yeah, it's weird. When I see Barry walking through the CCPD, it's weird. It's almost like...
Well, I mean, you could almost imagine people that are off in the peripheral thinking, he still works here?
Right. Yeah, I thought they quit a long time ago.
And I thought, I remember back before the season even started, they had even said you would see him doing more police type work and doing the CI bit more this season. And for a few moments early in the season, it just hadn't been there.
Yeah, that's a great disappointment to me, because it actually feels the opposite. I wanted to see some high-level CSI. I wanted to see Barry start his detective career, like the one that's going to rival Batman, Bruce Wayne's, you know? Like, Barry is that good of a detective. You know, he's not even doing the mundane job that he's given, much less anything super great.
Well, I mean, he's got the super stuff down pretty good.
Okay. He's got a super job down, not his regular job. But it makes it feel so flashy. Sorry. Yeah, because I think his CSI-ing, for lack of a better term, is what really helps ground him and gives him so much more depth, you know, more than running fast and loving on Iris. I don't know.
Right. He is supposed to be very intelligent. And that's not me saying this portrayal presents him as unintelligent, but I look at this Barry Allen and I don't see somebody who's going to one day invent Gideon.
Yeah, exactly. Especially since he relies so heavily on the others for help. And maybe that's why Cisco is not going to be around, so that Barry can take over that aspect and develop.
I was just going to say that maybe that's how you take the character in that direction, to be more scientific, more creative, more involved in the tech and the creation of some of these things. If you don't have Cisco there doing that, who's going to step up and do that for the team? And maybe that's how he develops into that. So great point.
Yeah. I'm hoping that happens.
All right, so in order to get Barry to grow, we need Cisco to go.
Oh, that's, ooh. Yep, that's true. It's what, season five? Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Change is constant. And I'm sure he'll be back if he does go. You know, I'm sure he can't just stay away, but we need a serious shakeup in this. We need something that really shakes up the status quo because they can't keep doing the same thing over and over. Barry, revealing yourself is not really a statement, a point that matters to anyone but you, Barry. It seems like that's the solution.
That's a piece that bugged me. It's like, how many times in this show have we seen him reveal his identity to solve the problem?
Right. And all of one or two times has anyone on the other side cared. Again, it's something.
And yet, technically, this is a time, again, that it works. He does appeal to Orlin. In essence, they do. It works. He allows him to use the cure.
And I think why I'm a little unsettled with it is that it feels like Barry did to be like, look, now you know who I am. And it should have been like, I don't know. I just don't like it. I think I find it hard to believe that that's what pushed Orlin over the edge. That's what decided was going to be his path because Barry showed his face. I don't know. It felt, I hate to be so critical, but it felt unearned.
Which, that Cicada gave up or that Barry did that?
If the crux of it all depends on Barry showing his face, like if that is what had turned Cicada, then yeah, I'll be disappointed. And there's no really real way to tell. But I think by having it in there, for me, it pulls me out of it a little bit because actually, I kind of like it because he took that goofy mask off. I really can't stand that mask this season.
You know, it's almost up there, and I'll give you that point. But it's almost like if you made a movie about your two top money-making heroes and the whole plot point hinged on the fact that your mothers had the same name.
Yeah.
Martha.
Wait, what? Who?
Martha.
You know my mom?
Is your mom's name Martha too?
My mom's name's Martha.
I don't know. Jay, do you know what I'm going to chalk it up to?
No, what?
Explain nothing! Explain nothing!
Well, that's a good thing to chalk it up to because I think that's all we're going to get is a bunch of nothing explained on certain points. Yeah. But there are other... Go ahead.
The only other last thing I wanted to bring up that made me go, ooh, that's interesting, was that in talking with Iris, Nora openly acknowledges, because she understands where Iris is coming from about wanting to do these things, she acknowledges the times that she previously came back, the wedding and the different events where she came back to see them and what the purpose was. Now, knowing what we know as working with the Reverse Flash. Again, you know what we need? We need an episode, and we're running out of them, where we get like Nora and you just get all that she's done from her perspective, where she's reflecting and thinking about it, or we get to see all the conversations that she's had with Thawne in the future. I need something where he lays out this whole plan to her, like, this is what you have to do, and then we know everything.
I think you're 100% correct about that. We do need an alternate point of view episode. We've maintained our point of view this whole season. we haven't done any of that. You just said seen it from behind the curtains, you know, or behind the secrets, whatever. I think that that could be easily done, and I hope they do that. And that would leave a lot of.
I'd love to see a moment where even, you know, give me Thawne for a scene hatching this entire plan. Give me, how did he even connect with Nora West Allen?
You know, now I feel we might get bits of that in scenes as we move along. But like
I said, think we might get some of that next week.
Oh yeah. Next week's going to be heavy. Next week's going to be heavy. And you know, maybe that's what, I don't know. Hopefully next week, maybe we'll get the equivalent, if not that. Okay, this is the rundown. Because if they do that next week, then that gives us enough time to actually move forward and play with what they, with the characters they've brought to the table, you know? Future Cicada, and Thawne, and Godspeed, and whatever else may come.
And the red skies are coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they got a lot on their plate.
I think that's all we have for things that made us go, ooh, as opposed to a lot of the things that made us go, ew.
Ew. Well, you know.
So you want to talk plot points or you got something else?
I got one more thing. That the end fight, just out of pure, you know, ooh, action. Because there was not a whole lot of action this episode, actually. There are some things that happened. But the actual action was the end, and just despite what plot points are being presented and all that stuff, it was a good fight. She cleaned house. It was well done.
It's not too often that you're going to change your set in the middle of the season, but yeah, she tore that up.
She did. And she had the double blades that were red instead of yellow. I enjoyed that very much.
And again, from Team Flash's perspective, they have no idea who that was.
Yeah, like, they really thought it was, I wonder who they thought. I assume that they thought it was maybe an alternate Earth cicada or something.
I don't know. I don't think they have a clue who it was. And we, as the audience, don't get the reveal till the end that it's Future Grace. So we also need to learn, how is she there? Why is she there?
Like, yeah, so many more questions. So many more questions.
Now, normally that's the marking of a great episode when it leaves you with questions. But, so much frustrating.
Yeah. So, but you know what? That begs the question. So is this the new timeline that Thawne was talking about? Is this who was coming? Or... More questions.
I don't know. I mean, I've read people are saying that, yes, Future Grace coming, this is part of this new developing timeline, and that's what he was talking about. And I've also heard that that's just a little seed that, again, this other speedster is going to be coming to break through. So, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm not in the writer's room. But if you're listening and you want to invite us, we're available.
Yes.
I won't tell anybody.
Storiesvoice@gmail.com. Well, it'll be very interesting. Yeah, I can't wait, because if they're going to keep throwing questions at us without sufficient answers, then I guess all we can do is wait and see. But it's interesting that this whole new timeline is such a scary and off-putting thing to Thawne. That's what really, you know, made me go, If he's kind of discombobulated by the idea of whatever's coming and this new timeline, then it's going to be something pretty serious.
Part of me also doubts how authentic he's being with Nora, and he is, I think, the master manipulator of time.
Yes.
So I'm partly under the impression he knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I cannot doubt that.
And again, it's just a matter of waiting for the payoff and how ultimately it benefits him.
It's so hard, you know, and for a split second, I thought, well, maybe he simply needs Flash to return to somehow regain access to the Speed Force. I don't know. I can't figure out his motivations.
So there's another list of the things we need to know. What are his motivations? What is the clock click ticking down to?
Yes. These questions.
And all right, let's talk. You want to talk plot?
Let's talk some plot.
All right. So new timeline. It's here. Mm-hmm. Very interesting way to open the show. As we said, we've got Cicada being given the cure. They bring in the doctor. I'm not going to lie, and I don't want to sound morbid, but I'm glad she's dead. I did not like her.
Yeah, it was almost some attempt to make her likable or likable again. It was in the beginning.
Now, I don't think they were trying to make her likable.
You don't think so? Maybe I just felt bad.
He was just trying to save her own skin in the last minutes.
Yeah. And it confused me for a second because at first I was like, I don't understand why she would do that to the doctor that's taking care. Oh, she's been in a coma. She has no idea.
Well, she can hear in the coma, so she knows.
Oh, she can. So she should. Maybe. These questions.
Maybe she's heard conversations the doctor said to her.
Hmm.
Thinking that she was in a coma. And again, I'm also still under the belief that there's the potential that in present day, she was purposely keeping Grace in the medically induced coma to have some control over Cicada.
Right.
Not that she was the mastermind, but she found a way to use to her advantage, since we learn in this through the buddy cop scenes with Joe and Cecile.
Which were great.
Took me back to his Law and Order days, let me tell you.
Oh, no.
But through those buddy cop scenes, we learned that she had a family member who was killed by a meta-caused accident. So she had some motivation.
Right. And I could see through possible flashbacks or something, or memories of future Cicada, that her saying things or influencing her. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways they could go with that. It'd be interesting to see which way they do go. But it was also very interesting to see Cecile try and make sense of what she was feeling. Now, I'm confused. Is Cecile empathic or telepathic? It seems to go back and forth, or maybe I'm just...
I'm still surprised she still has the powers. They made it sound like once she had the baby, she was supposed to lose the powers.
Yeah, that makes me wonder. So everybody gets pregnant, just has powers, and just kind of stay? Or at least even a portion of the people that get pregnant, do they have powers and just retain them? That opened up a whole new thought. So if that's true, then there's a whole secondary class of meta that's out, or a whole second class of meta, or I guess third class of meta that's out there, other than the dark matter metas, because I think we had like maybe one or two metas that were two prior metas. We've got Killer Frost, and then it was, I think, some dude from Arrow or something like that, way, 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 way back in the beginning.
And Caitlin's father is still running around out there somewhere.
Oh, wow, yeah. So, yeah, I think we need to address the non-dark matter meta. Wow. Yeah, say that a couple.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, no.
So I had also had written down here the end and the beginning of Cicada. So obviously we get the wonky approach of, again, what annoyed us about Nora in this episode, with her trying to craft the perfect Flash speech and analyzing previous things he said based on recordings from all of his previous speeches that he's given to find keywords. I'm like, come on. And he should have been like, Nora, I'll figure it out. We don't need to try and script it out.
Yeah. I think that kind of almost planted a little bit of doubt in Barry. And maybe not doubt, but hesitation, I should say.
Yeah, we saw that at the beginning when they were all like, oh, yeah, what are you going to say? And in that moment, he was on the spot and he's like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, and then he got feedback from them, you know, like, and I wonder if that had never been an issue, if it would have been one of his successes, because, you know, they were naming his successes and failure. If it would have been one of his successes the first time. But I guess that doesn't matter because it worked the second time. See, the plot to this particular episode just...
They tried to set up the plot like it all hinged on, what is Barry going to say? And I just think that was really kind of weak.
Right.
And the fact that it was another case of almost, you go back to Smallville even. How many people is Clark Kent going to reveal his secret identity to?
Yeah, it's not secret if everyone knows, yeah. Excuse me.
But now one plot point that, or really a theme that was prevalent in this episode, and goes back to even how they said this season was going to go, they try to appeal to Orlin about his legacy. Nora brings up to Barry, you know, everything I'm trying to share with you is based on what I know of your legacy in the future that you leave behind after disappearing. So the idea of legacy played a big role in this episode in, you know, Dwyer not caring what his legacy is, which, so the first time he tries to say something of value, basically gets his butt handed to him, the Flash. And again, Nora's trying to pump Barry up like, you know, you're the greatest speech giver. Like, you know how like in like The Incredibles, they talk about how supervillains will monologue. They make Barry out to be the best hero monologuer in speaking and talking down villains without having to engage them in conflict and combat.
And if done well, I can see where there'd be merit to that and how it would make the story a little bit richer, a little bit better. But we have seen that he comes off with some one-off speeches every now and then that are great and that work. But that's about it.
And the thing that's worked is they've always been presented as what he says in the moment without pre-planning it. And I think that was the difference here. He tried to pre-plan it, and I blame that on Nora because she started to plant the seed of, what are you going to say, Dad? You got to say the perfect thing. You know, how are we going to convince him? What are you going to... And that's not what the Flash does.
No, no. I mean, to her benefit, though, she didn't know. She's still learning her dad, you know, and I hope that's part of the lesson that she learned. Oh, it's not all a scripted play. I mean, it is, but it's not.
Don't tell that to the writer's room.
Right. But the idea of the legacy of the Flash, it's interesting because we know that the legacy of the Flash is so much bigger than what's been portrayed. And that also leaves so much more room for things to happen in the future. But yeah, they're harping on legacy because, you know, I'm not sure why that was such a key thing. I can understand why it's important, but I'm not so sure what they were trying to say by that. See, if that's not clear, then I don't think they've done the best job.
No, you're right. That's a fair point. But obviously we know that over the course of the rest of this season, something about his legacy is going to change.
Yeah. hopefully for the better. Maybe he'll come back in the future. Maybe they'll flashpoint it and screw things up, and there is no excess, and now they're just two twins. Ha ha! Some of your own medicine, Barry.
You mean we might need more diapers?
Right. Is that have we already gotten that yet?
Nope. That has not been paid off yet.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have to see.
Time will tell. But until then, all we can do is
explain nothing.
Explain nothing.
Thank you, Tony and Joe, for all of the memories.
Yes. Endless memories of fun.
Well, speaking of memories, why don't we make some memories with the feedback? Because we did get a few good things, and that can certainly continue to inspire conversation for us. So you want to do emails? You want to do voicemail first?
Let's do some voicemail. Let's see who we got to talk to today.
All righty. Let's turn it over to our good friend and fellow podcaster, X-Force 11.
Hello, Underground. This is Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback. So what is my theory about Future Grace? I think Future Grace was sent back by the Reverse Flash in order to have his revenge on the Flash family. I don't know how he got her back or what his reasoning is, but I think he's been manipulating the whole time, really, just using excess to kind of push things the way he wants to go. And he's going to use it to escape and somehow switch places with Sherlock. But those are just theories. Man, what an episode and what a time for getting in new theories about what's going to happen next. X-Force 11 out.
Jeff, thank you for the feedback, but I got to be honest. I can't have you sending in voicemails where you're going to throw out theories and ideas that suggest that Reverse Flash is self-serving and manipulating things to his advantage. I just don't think that this is the type of forum for such outlandish claims that have no basis of being true. That being said, you are spot on, brother.
Absolutely. I agree. Thanks, Jeff. Always great to hear from you.
So what do you think of what he had to say?
You know, I'm so hesitant. I'm always hesitant to come up with theories. I don't like to speculate. I think I've discovered that because without the answers, I feel like I'm, well, just speculating. Yeah, I agree with it. I don't know how Thawne is doing it or what his purpose is or how he got her back in time, but, yeah, I agree with everything that Jeff says. That's gotta be the way it is, right?
I think so. I mean, as I'm listening, and as we've been talking, wheels are spinning for me, and I'm thinking about how does this all tie together? Because as much as in this episode we're kind of down on the episode, you know, we love the show, we love what the writers do 99.9% of the time. And what they're doing creatively to make the season happen and what story they're crafting. But in terms of how does this all tie together, again, are we going to tie together Reverse Flash, Future Cicada, Godspeed, Caitlin's father, the Metahuman Cure? And not for nothing, here's a little plot point for you. How many more people are they going to tell about this cure that it exists?
Well, you know, I mean,
there's a way to take powers from people. Sooner or later, they're going to tell the wrong person who's going to tell the wrong person, and someone's going to come looking for the cure.
Yeah, because, I mean, even though they're okay with it, that is a super controversial thing. I mean, that's intense. And not only that, if you're so righteous about it, why aren't you telling the right people or even those that you consider yourself the right people so that something can be done? Yeah, I guess they never read any Marvel. Great power, great responsibility.
Like going back to last week's episode, I mean, I like Lila. Argus is sort of okay, but why would you tell Argus you've got a way to strip powers from metahumans?
Yes, that is probably the number one organization not to tell. Do you know what they do? Oh, yeah. They do things like imprison people with powers and experiment on them. But, yeah, I don't know. There's no excuse for that.
No excuse. But, Jeff, thank you again for sending in the voicemail feedback. We do appreciate it. Next up, we got another email from Spider-Gwen Loves Miles Morales, and I will be playing the role of Spider-Gwen Loving Miles Morales. And here's what the email says. The irony of a man who has been divorced 5 times giving relationship advice. Whatever Sherlock advises, do the opposite. I think that's a callback to him advising the doctor of King Shark. Her name escapes me. Email goes on to say, I can understand Barry offering an olive branch to Savitar. Savitar was just a version of Barry that needed love and a plastic surgeon. Also, the only crime Savitar was guilty of was killing Iris in an alternate timeline that never occurred. That's Barry being Barry, seeing the good in people, even though that's really a trait of Wally West. For comic book fans. Barry thinking Cicada might want the cure makes zero sense, even for a guy led by his feelings. It's not as if Cicada has ever shown remorse for the dozens of people he has murdered. He's even hunting down non-meta Joe. Barry hasn't held a conversation with the man, so what makes him think Cicada would voluntarily cease his vendetta? Of course, this is the same Barry that offered Marlies DeVoe, partially responsible for a busload of people getting killed, a spot on Team Flash. I like the idea of characters not being in certain episodes and it not being addressed. These are supposed to be real people with their own agency and lives. Cops and firemen take days off and vacations. Why wouldn't members of Team Flash? I think there Spider-Gwen is hinting at, where's Ralph?
Who?
You know, Dibny?
Oh, that's right.
Elongated man?
Yes, that's right. He is.
Agent Ralph. Maybe he's working on the next edition of the Book of Ralph. I don't know. And then Spider-Gwen closes it out. P.S. Did Barry lose the Flash ring? Is the Flash suit coming out of the ring an expensive effect? What I wouldn't give for the Flash to have a Fox budget or Gotham's writers.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's a Flash burn.
Wow. Oh,
no. Flash burn. But to address the question, yes, the doing the Flash ring effect, that costs money. And last week they had a gorilla and a shark fight. So there you go.
Yeah, no Flash ring. But, you know, I think there are ways to get around that. Like, show us the ring.
That's true. He should be wearing it all the freaking time.
Yeah, and if he needs to transform, like, show us the ring, and the lightning effect of the Flash or the Speed Force isn't that expensive. I mean, that's what they use all the time. That's, you know, you could do that around a ring and suggest the opening and all that and have Barry Flash around just to keep it in mind. I think that would be great, because if not, it really does feel like just fan service the one time we saw it.
Or find a way to film it once and then from many angles. Just cut that in.
Right, yeah.
You know, back in the old Incredible Hulk TV show, I'm sure there was some recycled Hulk growing footage.
I don't know what you're talking
with
about.
With the thighs busting through the pants.
I think they filmed that every time.
He changed every time. It was real, no? All right.
But, you know.
Our next email comes from the great Montefescu. Here we go. Hello, CCU podcasters. Method Madness Monty here. What? Method Madness? I'll explain. All right, here we go. When I watched the episode for the first time, I noticed that pacing of the story beats seemed off. The actors missed their usual excellent performance metrics. Odd bits of scene shot showed point of view and character presentation. I mean, which side of the face to light, or even which aspect angle of the actor's 3D human form should be presented to camera to obtain the best flat 2D image for projection through the camera. Was either this director ignoring it, or did the director misunderstand it as he staged certain scenes? I'm sorry if I dive into minutia and it bore some, but for me, this is enjoyment. And we appreciate that. That's me interjecting. To see the craft on display in acting, writing, and camera work, and overall vision. I pick it apart in the hindbrain as the story flashes by in the forebrain. Flash usually does it all so well. Since this production crew is usually too good to pull a Supergirl episode, I had to assume the problem was not the episode, but me. I was off, not the episode. I don't think so in this case, Monty. So I did what I do to check some when I have to bolo an entertainment instead of enjoy it. And make it a drinking game. Oh, this is great. Every joke or funny piece worked into the script, I take a slug. Second go through, by the time I see the excess cafe latte, I'm reasonably mellow. Mellow enough to take it in as an aesthetic experience. Did I enjoy it enough to go on to the second drink, though? There's my method madness. Relaxed, I can shut Mr. Hindbrain down and see its fuzzy forest instead of tree by tree. It made no difference. I still understand that the forced comedy is off. Poor choices. The camera work at key points when we need group shot profiles instead of head on is weird. As in, nobody would point of view a group talk scene with Nora excited that way. If Nora is to be overeager and too empathetic, shoot her over the shoulder, three quarters from behind, and not face on. Present the group reaction shot as one group reaction shot instead of breaking it up into bits as this director did. There is nothing wrong with the actors. Nothing is wrong with the script that joke and gag work and the rewrites cannot fix. Because a strong flash story is there. If it is not me, the actors, the writer, or the production values, it is, in all caps, the director.
Ooh.
So, did he still like it? Here's why. Number one, the CCU gag shirt. Take kudos, CCU. We applaud. Yes, we did. Two, Nora's sweater gag. Three, Flash turns villains with talkie-talkie instead of punchy-punchy. Number four, the Flash episode drips Jeff Johns. Number five, wham reveal already given away 5-12. In season 5, episode 12, memorabilia is still dramatic enough to carry the coda. Number six, Jessica Parker Kennedy is so exuberant and still cute as a button. That's me. Number seven, Jesse Waters is back to full on actor presence. Oh, Jesse Walters, sorry. Number eight, Zach Stentz gives Detective West an excellent story to show why he is so important to the Flash. Here is his ratings for acting, directing, and writing. 5.05 out of 5.55. And I think the math on that works out to be 6 or 7. So Monty is right in line with us. And he ends it with P.S. Grace will be a better cicada. He likes Sarah Carter as an actress a lot. So one Easter egg, Sarah Carter did play a character back in a season of Smallville. Love, Monty.
She played a character in a season of Smallville. I didn't realize that.
Yes. You give your thoughts. I will get the information.
Well, great. Yeah. Thanks again for the feedback there, Monofescu. I love what you do for us, Monofescu. I have plenty of ideas and thoughts that I cannot express because I do not know the ins and outs of the trade in the industry. and the subtle things that might affect my feelings towards these episodes and things. And I truly thank you, Montefiscu, for trying to educate me with some of the information you give. It really is helpful. I gotta agree. The CCU shirt gag, that does take the kudos. I agree with you. That's the best, of course. The best.
And I did look it up. On Smallville, she appeared on 3 episodes, one in 2004 and two in 2005, which means it was that 2004-2005 season. She played Alicia Baker.
Okay.
And pulling up the synopsis there, what was the point of Alicia Baker? She was one of the freaks of the week. And Clark gets stuck with Alicia Baker, science geek Alicia Baker, to get the next elevator. While in the elevator with her, the cable breaks and Clark uses his heat vision to melt the security camera first and his powerful force to stop the vehicle with his hand. Alicia, in return, teleports Clark and herself to another floor. She discloses her ability to Clark, and he tells her about his strength and heat vision. When they date, Clark finds that the girl is indeed obsessed with him. So, antics ensue.
Oh, Smallville.
How after this episode, I miss thee.
Yeah. Oh.
This is the episode they should have played, Somebody Save Me. Now I'm fired up.
Well, you know what? Let's get you cooled down. Let's see what Ben from the Facebook group has to say.
Well, Ben had a nice theory that he shared in the Facebook, and that is, quote, he thinks that Godspeed brought Cicada Grace from the future. He's who Eobard wasn't expecting and was messing with the timeline at the beginning of the episode.
Now, Professor, tell me, what do you know? I mean, not all that you know, because we don't have that kind of time. But what do you know of Godspeed?
I know that he has a really sweet costume.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I love those colors.
I know that he is a relatively new villain in the Flash comics. And according to the comics, obviously him being a speedster, he's not as powerful as you might think or his name might imply. But they might obviously tweak that for the show. And I think here in the show, I think he's going to be one of these results of Reverse Flash thinking he knew better. And I think we're going to find that Godspeed may wind up being the result of the timeline not being all that malleable.
Okay.
So sort of like another variation on what happens when you mess with time.
Right. Another. Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. And that being said,
because we've already seen the example of, we have a different Cicada than other versions that Sherlock has encountered the previous 37 times.
Jeez.
So here on Earth One, things are a little different.
Yeah, we're getting a God. We're getting a Godspeed out of a God force. We're getting Godspeed out of it. Well, yeah, I love that theory, Ben, and we'll see if it pans out.
We shall see. Thank you to everybody who sent in feedback this week. Stories Voice and I are happy to be on track, and we're happy to get your comments during the Facebook live watch. JD, you did a nice job in the group this week.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
A lot of great GIFs, and I love going back because I don't get to watch the episode live where I am, so I'm always going back and watching it after. But after I'm done watching it, I go through and then I follow the thread. And I'm like, oh, this is what they were talking about. Now it makes sense. So it was nice to refollow the conversation. Now, if you're listening and you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you need to head over to facebook.com/groups/theflashgsm. We have a great community over there, and that is the community for this CW show. There's also a great one for Arrow, for Supergirl. So definitely check out all of those communities. And if you want to leave feedback for this podcast, you could call the Golden Spiral Media hotline, and that is 304-837-2278. When episodes air new on Tuesdays, just get your audio feedback to us by Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Eastern time. And you can also go over to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, and you can send us a nice email like Monty does each week now, or you can also connect with the show on Twitter at the Flash GSM. Super fun times on the internet. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Absolutely.
All right, Jada, let's do flash forward, because it's like time's going to explode next week.
I see. Yes. Because we have for next week, season 5, episode 17 of The Flash, Time Bomb. Look at that meme. Well, as it turns out, Team Flash finds out that a suburban mom named Vicky Bolin is in danger, and they race to save her. Upon meeting her, they discover she's a metahuman who is hiding her abilities from her family. Barry engages Vicky to share her secret with her family, which makes Nora realize she needs to come clean with her parents about Thawne. Oh, really? That's what it took there, Nora? Oh, sorry.
Now, to be fair, if we compare this synopsis to the synopsis we just went over.
No.
I'm gonna. The trailer itself has Thawne to tell Nora, tell your father everything. So I think maybe there's a conversation, but I don't think she really is going to be realizing on her own to tell Barry. I think it's going to take that push, and she's going to start to question Thawne, and I think he's going to then tell her, and maybe it's got something to do with what is breaking through. Maybe we're going to get some more information. But again, we're not going to find out until March 19th, 2019 at 8 p.m. on the Flash channel, the CW. Any thoughts on what you think is going to come down in this episode?
You know, I started to have thoughts, but you threw me a loop when you said, hey, if we compare synopsis.
I just meant that the synopsis isn't always accurate to what actually happens in the episode.
which is odd. No, what I'm hoping for is this episode, we get lots of answers, yet I will be okay with the many more questions that they'll leave us. But we need that. We need, again, as we had said earlier, we need that point of view change. We need that info dump from the future. So that we can get caught up with obviously where they want us to be caught up. Because again, this episode felt like they were just like, here are the pieces. Who cares how it looks? Let's just have them so we can get on with it. So I just wanted to be, I don't even want any filler plot. I mean, I'd be okay not seeing anybody else. Like, we don't need to see Joe. We don't need to see Dibney or anybody. I would be thrilled if this was just full on, oh my goodness, here's what's going on, and this is what you need to know as an audience, you know. Not too much. You know, they've got to stretch it out, but we really could use some help here.
Now, I forget, Jada. Do you watch the trailer for the upcoming episodes or no?
I don't normally, not as a rule or anything. I try to avoid it, but this time I was sitting there and I was like, I'm watching it. I like to be a little bit surprised, but it's not always possible. It was weird. It looked pretty intense next week. It did.
I was excited that something that made me go ooh from the trailer was the return of the Time Pod.
Oh, the Time Sphere. Yes.
The Time Sphere. Yes.
So yes. Rapunzel's Time Sphere.
I look forward to seeing how this all plays out in the middle of the Vancouver, Central City, or wherever they're going to be. Woods.
On the Amazon.
Maybe they're on Leanne U. Who knows?
That would be funny.
And the only other thing that I'd like to share here at the end of this episode is we did get some Flash show news, and that is as we head into season 6, we have learned that Todd Helbing has stepped down as showrunner, or will be stepping down at the end of the season, and executive producer Eric Wallace will be taking over as the sole showrunner for season 6. I'll include a link in the show notes for this episode that will give you more information from TVLine.com, and you can learn more about Eric Wallace taking over and what that could potentially mean for the show if you're into this aspect of television.
Wow. A regime change. Okay. Interesting.
But he is not unfamiliar with the show. The article goes over episodes he's written. Mm-hmm. So he's not coming in late to the game.
Right. So, so good.
That'll be good. But a fresh perspective. We'll see what happens as we go into season 6 and the entire DC TV universe falls apart with Crisis.
I can't wait.
So for episode 126 of Central City Underground, where we talked about season 5, episode 16, Failure is an Option, it has been my pleasure to be here. I am the Professor Chris. You can connect with me on Twitter at CJ Nessie, N-E-S-I. Jada, where can people find you?
You can connect with me on Twitter at Stories Voice.
And you can connect with the show once again at The Flash GSM on the Twitter. Hit up the Facebook group, call the hotline, go to goldenspiralmedia.com, check out the other awesome podcasts for your favorite TV shows and other geeky type stuff. And we'll see you next week.